Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Yep, we got a good episode for you today on the Dadgum Dads.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. I'm super excited to talk about it, as we're always excited to get on here and just spill the beans about
good stuff. It's my favorite time of the week when you and I sit down.
Is it?
Get to talk about it.
Oof, that's a lot of pressure.
Well, you know, no pressure. But,
Shit.
I enjoy this.
Well, before we get going, you know, always got to give a shout out to a few people. Got to give a shout out to Fit Donut. Got to give a shout out to Bison Fence with one Randall Colt Carnegie Esquire.
Yep.
Shout out to, oh my goodness, Boise Eco Wash,
mm-hmm.
or Treasure Valley Eco Wash, excuse me. And who else?
You know what? This is a special shout out, definitely. I don't know who follows us on social media or not, but. My cousin, well, I got two cousins and a brother that started their own baseball bat company down in Utah, and they are called the American Batsmiths.
Oof.
And my cousin made us a bat, so we got to give them a shout out.
Yeah.
Everyone, if you want, for me, just no bias. Okay, there is bias there, but seriously, they make probably the best bat ever.
This is baseball bats we're talking about.
These are baseball
bats.
We're
not talking about flying bats.
No. Nope. They're not going to turn into Dracula. You hear that, kids?
That was a dad joke.
Bah. But
yeah. No, they made us a nice baseball bat. Appreciate them.
Yeah, definitely.
But all the support.
Yeah, I know that they got a couple minor league baseball players using their bats right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. And talking with my cousin yesterday who runs the company, and he said right now they just got so many orders they're trying to keep up with, so...
Good
yeah, so go check them out, batsmith.com, AmericanBatsmith.com.
They got Facebook or Instagram?
Yeah, they got all of it, Facebook, yep. Instagram.
Check them out.
TikTok.
TikTok.
They got a TikTok. Essentially, on a lot of their social media, you can check out their products, but then also they have videos of them lasering and painting and woodworking and all that. It's actually pretty cool, so I'm excited to that they gave us a bat. I had one that I was going to hang up that I had just taken out of their dumpster at the beginning of the year when I was down there, but this one's got Dadgum Dad all over it, got our names on it, it's got our slogan.
Sick. Completely honest,
it is.
I like it,
it's awesome, so shout out to them.
Yeah,
I'll tell
I don't
you
want
to
hang it up, I just want to hold it all the time.
Yeah, you can hold it.
I'm afraid I might do something bad.
Like yeah, we don't want to ruin it.
Or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's best if we hang it up.
I think it's a good idea.
Well, you can take a picture of it and you can look at it. You can put it as your background.
Oh. Oh. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. But it'll be here in my studio.
Yeah, oh. It is going to be.
All right.
Yeah, so today we got a cool episode and an idea that we were talking about. Is about basically the evolution of the dad.
Oh boy, this could be fun.
Yeah, and
it'll be a fun topic.
So kind of just kind of a rough outline. Basically, you know, it's you know the evolution from like our dads, what our dads taught us, and then maybe what their dads taught them, and so on and so forth, and you know, and maybe just like the generations of how dads were, you know, decades ago, maybe a decade ago to even now, just how parenting and being dads in general has just changed.
Definitely.
It's ever evolving as we are as humans.
Changes. I mean, the way that we parent our kids right now, you know, by the time they're older and they have kids and stuff, they're going to be parenting the different way. I mean, even there's a big difference between the way that I parent my kids and my oldest brother, the way that he parented his kids.
Right.
So, I mean, and we're only 14 years apart.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to say only, but yeah, we're 14 years apart. So, there's, I mean, just
right
in
there.
Those 14 years, that's, I mean, there's already a difference between the way that I parent my kids and, because all his kids, he's got one that's still at home. He has four kids. Two of them are married and off, and one of them's engaged or almost engaged, but she's been out of the house for a while. Got one more that's still in high school, but he's already past the stage that I'm at, so
that's crazy. There you go.
It is crazy.
I mean, the way I look at it is, you know, my example of, or anybody, I think their example of what a dad is usually is their dad, if their dad is obviously in the picture.
So yeah.
For the time being, we're going to go with the dad that's in the picture.
Okay.
Yep. We're going to use our personal experiences. I don't want to speak on behalf of other people, you know, maybe with what they've dealt with. But for me, my example was my dad. You know, and I'm definitely a lot different than he is. He's not, he wasn't really a guy, he's a great guy, super nice dude, but not a guy who's big on talking things out, like having those serious conversations that really fell on my, to my mom.
Yeah.
He, mostly just because I don't really think he knew how to have those conversations due to the fact he didn't have them with his dad or had much of a relationship with his dad.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. My dad's not much of the sit down, talk touchy feely type of guy. You know, I think I can probably count on a probably on one hand how many times he's told me he's loved me.
Well, shoot, that's old school.
Yeah, and but so now the thing is with your dad's dad and your mom's dad.
They're probably closer in age to your dad.
Probably,
my actually. Grandparents are actually closer in age probably to your dad than my dad is to your dad.
But yeah, I would guarantee think. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because my dad is, I think he's going to turn 76.
Yeah, my grandpa's 80.
Okay.
My mom's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad's dad's dead, so.
Okay.
But yeah. I only met him like 3 times my entire life. I had no relationship with him whatsoever, so.
Yeah, my dad's dad passed away 3 days after I was born, so I never met him. And then my mom's dad passed away in 93, right before, well, he was a reason why we moved up here, because we were living in Kimberly at the time. And so, I mean, I have a few memories of him, but I was 8 when he passed away, and like I said, we didn't live here, so I have a few memories of him, but as far as the type of dad that he was, or, you know, he's a good grandpa to me, but I don't. My cousins that lived around here, they have a lot more memories and stories about him, so.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot to be said there because even just the way you were brought up and your family dynamics way different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to be gained from how you evolved from your dad when you're saying your dad's like 76 years old. So
yeah,
you're being raised by somebody who is like my grandpa's age. So yeah. It's like I was raised by if I got raised by my grandpa.
Kind of. Actually, they're
age-wise.
I'm not gonna lie. There were times I think
they're probably like the same
time. I was probably 10 or 11, and I went to the bank with my dad, and I was sitting there, and the lady asked me, "You know, how was it spending the day with your grandpa?" And I looked at her and I said, "This is my dad.
My old man.
This is my old man.
He's an old geezer."
Yeah, and so she, insert foot into mouth.
Yeah, I know. That's how it is. Sometimes those big families. You come from a big family. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's a yours, mine, and ours family. So,
yeah.
My dad was married. They had 5 kids. And then she passed away with cancer. My mom was married. They had 2. She got divorced, and they got together and had me. So, I'm a yours, mine, and ours. So, I'm the only one that's in between them. You know, the only child between them.
Right.
And so, but yeah, then I got, I mean, I don't call them my half brothers and half sisters.
No,
they're my brothers and sisters.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
but my oldest sister was 16 when I was born, and then she had a kid when she was 18 and a half. So I got a nephew that's 2.5 years younger than me. So, yeah. But and then I got
that's nuts. That's nuts. And see, it's so funny because the space between like you and your siblings is very similar to how my dad was. Mm-hmm. He was the youngest, and he was like. I mean, so he's 10 when his mom died, but his oldest brother, who he passed away years back, but he was like, oh my gosh, I can't remember, like 18 years older or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was married having kids. My dad's still in high school, you know?
Yeah.
So when you have that, and then there's siblings in between them, and they're spaced out too. So, but they were all, you know, so he comes from a family that didn't do a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
There was no conversing. I mean, those important dialogues that you should probably be having. It was like you sit down at the dinner table, you shut your mouth, eat your food, don't leave till it's done.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like go outside till the sun goes down. Mm-hmm. Type, and there's no interaction really at all.
So according to my brothers and sisters, my grandpa Stokes, he was actually pretty outgoing, and like kind of totally polar opposite of my dad.
Which maybe that's where you got a little bit. Genetics, too.
It must be. Well, I mean, he was, you know, he used to tell him, you know, the kids that he loved him and everything. And, you know, let him sit on his lap and play with him, wrestle with him and stuff. And that I do with my kids. And but then, which I can see that now. My grandma Stokes passed away right out, I think just a couple years after we graduated. Mm-hmm. So she's been gone for a little bit. And but she was like my dad. I think my dad got a lot of her traits.
Interesting.
Of yeah, not the touchy feely, no hugs, you know, don't tell you I love you type of thing. More of a serious.
And so, is it safe to say that experiencing that is what led you to kind of go the other way?
I'm not gonna lie. Yes.
Very affectionate.
Oh yeah.
Tell your kids you love them.
Oh, I tell them all the time.
So you learned. You evolved.
Yeah.
From that.
Oh yeah, I did. And yeah, I just I mean, I make sure that my kids know that I love them. I knew that he loved me,
right?
Because he drove bus and
actions, right?
Well, he showed it. Yeah, like he drove bus and he was always there at my sporting events because he drove the bus. But then he would request, you know, to do the charter. So he was there at every football game, away football game. He was always there at the home ones.
He found a way to get a penny or two while he did it.
Working the system.
He's like, I'll go watch my kid, but I ain't going to do it for free.
Yeah.
I'm totally joking.
So actually, one of my favorite pictures that I have was, I believe it was my senior year. Someone took a picture of me when I was doing long jump. So
yeah.
I'm up in the air jumping. And it's got Coach Blocker in there, and he's got the motion going like he's jumping with me.
Right, which helps, right?
Yeah. And then Hayden Blocker is in the back, his son,
walking
across the track looking. And then it's got my dad standing there because my dad had the clipboard because he was writing down the scores of everything.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning this story.
Yeah, now. and so that's probably my favorite picture because it has me doing what I loved and and it's got my dad there, you know, supporting me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because I don't have just, you know, I don't go and take selfies with my dad or anything, which I don't take selfies anyway.
Right.
So, but yeah, I just don't go up and say, hey, dad, hey, someone take a picture of me and my dad. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I still to this day, you know, we don't really say that we love each other or anything, mm-hmm. but I make sure that my kids know between what I say and my actions. So,
yeah. Yeah, my dad, I truly believe this, would have been very similar to that because his siblings were like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're a lot like their parents who were very hardened individuals, didn't do a lot of that emotional talk, just work and, you know, we're the parents, you're the kids, there's a separation.
Yeah.
And I feel like he was young enough when he went out on his own, and then when he started dating my mom, and they got married young. He was around my grandparents, who are very affectionate people.
Mm-hmm.
Always tell you they love you. And my mom's like that. And I think over the years, I actually remember I watched this happen because I remember being, you know, a kid. And then as I got older, he's a lot different. Even he's way different now than he was then.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched him change. So he still has our time with those serious conversations, you know. But as far as telling somebody he loves them, no problem. You know, all that stuff. Very family oriented. All about family. All about spending time with everybody. As he's way different than everybody else in his family, which is why there's been more of a disconnect with his side of the family than with well, even with my mom's, but not as much. Just because there's
that's funny because it's kind of the same with my family. Like my dad's side of the family, I never really knew him. We never got together for family reunions.
Yeah. Some of mine try, you know, and there's some that we do talk to now, you know, as we've gotten older. But as growing up, man, it just wasn't there. You know, everybody kind of went their own way
because
nobody really got along with his dad, my grandpa. He just was this old.
Yeah. Well, so my dad.
Stubborn man, you know.
If I remember right, because like I said, I don't know the Stokes side very well. So if I remember right, my dad is second to youngest. And only him and my Uncle David, who's his younger brother, are the only ones alive still. And so, of course, they all had older kids and older cousins. I mean, I hear about a cousin, Eric Stokes, over in Middleton. As far as I know, I've never met him.
Right.
But I hear people talk about him all the time. Like, Stokes, are you related to Eric Stokes? Well, you know, he's my cousin. I've never met him. And, but that's a lot of, I mean, I could be walking down the street. I could actually be having a conversation in the store with one of my cousins on the Stokes side, and I wouldn't even know that they're my cousin.
Right.
Now, on my mom's side, growing up, especially when we moved here, we always had, I would say probably once a month we would have a family get together at my grandma and grandpa's house.
Yeah.
And that was after my grandpa passed away.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's kind of, it's not funny, but it's just, it's kind of neat because I knew my grandpa, but I didn't know my grandpa. But I know the way he is because I watch my uncles and they're all the same. You know, they act a lot the same. And so I figured that's probably how my grandpa was. Mm-hmm. And so, which, you know, they're, you know, they'll tell me that they love me and they'll give me hugs when they leave and stuff. And so I'm like, okay, well then that must've been the way grandpa was.
And I think, I don't think I know this. Like, I really do feel confident saying I know this. Like, you learn, it's like you learn, it's like when you get a job and like the person you're replacing, maybe you take a little, like if you're like, they're doing on the job training with you, you know, and they can show you, you know, kind of some pointers and things to do, and you can go, okay, I like that. And then, like, everything else, you're like, nah, I don't like anything you're doing there. I'm going to do the complete opposite of what you did. It's kind of similar with dads, right? Or you're being a parent. Like, my dad took probably a couple of things that maybe dad did do okay, and then flushed the rest, and then completely changed how he was going to be as a dad. And then I take things I've seen that he does that I do like, and then there's stuff that I wouldn't do. And I flush that, and then I adapt and change.
Well, that's like you said, that's that whole generation thing, you know, how parenting has evolved.
Yeah.
My dad was more of a, well, like I said, he's kind of more serious, you know. He always said there's a time and a place for everything. It drives me nuts.
That could be said about anything earth.
It drove me nuts.
Time and place for everything.
But then I find myself saying it to my kids now.
You can't help it.
And it drives me nuts that I say it. But, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. You know, if we're out there, you know, working in the yard or something like that, we start messing around. There's a time and a place for everything. Now's not the time, nor the place. It drove me nuts. And I don't say that if we're out in the yard and if they play around a little bit, whatever. Hey, get back to work. And, but I just, it just randomly, I've kind of randomly said it, but I try not to, because
There's lots of different ways to say it, right? Like, now's not the time.
Yeah,
or not stuff right like now. That. You know, not right now.
Yeah,
it's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff.
But it's just funny because, like you said, you know, I took some things, like you take some things from your parent, whether it be your dad or your mom or whatever, and you take the good things, and then some of the stuff you didn't like, you flush it down the toilet. So
I think that's what's nice about, you know, having your parents that are around. You and that's why it's important to have parents around, or you know, positive role models that'll raise you. Because,
well, not just that, like, it's important for you as a parent to be around.
Well, yeah, they're your example, though, you know. And it's like, if you grow up without that, you have no idea. Nobody set a bar for you to be like, to measure to measure up to, or to look at and be like, I mean, not saying that having a terrible deadbeat dad that, you know, is abusive and all that's better than not having it at all.
Heck no, get away. Run as far away as you can.
Yeah, but I think if you got to, you know, it's nice to have at least have a parent to be able to look at and go, okay, I don't agree with that, or I don't agree with this, but there were some things there that was pretty good. I'll use that, and then I'll kind of do my own thing here. Like, kind of like your dad. My dad, he was there too, you know. He was a guy who, he was always taking me to practices, picking me up. He'd show up super early, get off work, and he'd be sitting out to the football field, you know, waiting for me to get done practice. Like, he was always there, you know. Didn't say much, just there. Like, it was just, like, it was his duty, you know, to be doing the dad stuff. He had no problem doing it.
Yeah.
And I really liked that about him, and I try to use that now, you know. I mean, I only got one. He had three. You know, he was there for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So
I got four.
Yeah, and you got four. You know, so I definitely, you know, anytime I'm like starting to complain about, oh, I don't want to do that, I think about him. You know, and he was working his tail off all the time, and then he still made time when he could to be there, whether it was a sporting event or just practice. He was at my practice all the time, like in middle school and even ninth grade. Like, he was really involved.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's, I mean, I could say the same for my dad. I mean, he worked really hard. I mean, there was one time where he had like two or three jobs at one time, you know, and so he did his best to try to provide for the family.
I think it's safe to say that our dads taught us the value of hard work.
Oh, that.
Because they both grind.
Dude, I will definitely tell you that. I will tell you, so growing up, we lived with my grandma after, like I said, after my grandpa passed away, we moved up here. And we lived with my grandma in a double white trailer on about an acre and a half of land. And in order to, you know, not survive, but to make some extra money and stuff, they had a horse in a pasture, and then they got rid of, my grandma got rid of the horse after my grandpa passed away. And so my dad decided to turn that pasture into a 1 acre garden. And so every day, I mean, I'm talking when I turned 9, probably about 10 is when they planted the garden. Mm-hmm. And every day during the summer, we were out in that garden. Just, I mean, we didn't have tractors or anything. No, like, yeah. Like, he'd borrow a tractor and, you know, dig the rows and everything. And then he'd be out there, you know, by hand planting. You know, we'd be out there. He would make the holes and we'd be out there and, you know, throwing the seeds down and covering them up and everything. And then after that, we took our hose and we went down every single row and, you know, chopped the weeds out and stuff.
Yeah.
Every single day. To this, I mean, it taught me hard work, but to this day, I'll never have a garden.
No, yeah.
I told Valerie when we got married, she's like, I want a garden. I'm like, okay, I know how to plant it. You're going to take care of it. Yeah. So I would do that. I'd plant the garden for her, and I said, all right, it's yours now.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then every once in a while, I'd give her some pointers. All right, you know, use this to help them grow.
Yeah.
But other than that,
they teach you stuff.
Well, nowadays, by the way everything's going, might have to freaking plant a garden just to survive with the cost of everything going up. So.
I know. Most of the stuff I've learned too came from my dad. The problem with him is biggest heart ever. Like, you ask for help, he's there in a second. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, he'll just come in and do it for you. He's got no problem doing it. Mm-hmm. And I did that for a long time growing up, so I failed to actually learn anything.
You were because
he would just do it.
Oh, crap.
So now that I'm older, I'm like, all right, hold up. Let's do this together so I can maybe not have to
call you every time.
Yeah. Your help for the next thing, you know.
See, my dad's more, you know, because he had kids, so he would do more of the supervising.
Yeah, right.
Do this, do that. No, you're doing it wrong. Do it this way. Taught me stuff, though.
Yeah, you know, my dad just wasn't, he never really was big on being the enforcer. You know, he didn't want to. He wanted to be the good cop. You know, he's a good cop guy. I probably have more of that, too. You know, I try to be more of an enforcer because I do think about the dynamic of growing up with, you know, one parent's that's always on you and the other one's like, you know. And then when he does get on you, it's like more of like, he's really mad, you know. So it's either he's really cool or, whoa, he's really mad. You know, there's got to be an in-between, which that's where he kind of struggled. So I'm really trying to do that, too. I don't want to just have explosive outbursts of rage or whatever because my daughter's doing something. I need to be able to sometimes just, nope, not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't always want it to be, you know, her mom that's getting, you know.
See, now,
it's got to be me, too.
Well, I don't want to, but I'm but it's funny because with mine and Valerie's relationship is, I mean, she gets after him more than I do.
Right.
But I take it for so long, and if they're not listening, then I pipe in.
I do. I'm very similar with that.
But then, of course, I'm louder and, according to them, meaner than she is. And so, why is Dad always yelling at us?
Yeah.
Well, did you forget that Mom was yelling at 5 minutes before I said anything?
That's almost like the same thing.
And so, Dad's the mean one. Yeah. Oh, he's so mean, yelling all the time. And I'm like, well, no, not really.
Right.
I wouldn't yell if you would do what we told you to.
Right.
The first time. But you didn't.
Yeah.
And I let Mom, you know, I don't want to step on her toes. And so I just, you know, let her do her thing. But then after a while, gets on my nerves that the kids aren't doing what they're told. So I got to pipe in.
Yeah.
You're the mean. Right. Oh, my gosh. She yells at you more than I do. I'm the good guy.
Yeah, I know. Well, and you don't. And that's the thing, that good cop, bad cop thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the kind of the hard part about being, you know, parents, is that you gotta both be good cop and bad cop. It can't just be one or the other. You both gotta be able to do it. And that means you both gotta, like, have each other's backs, too, which is a constant struggle. Cause sometimes all your Alex getting on Juliana about something, and I'll be like, really? You know? I mean,
no, it's,
I don't,
it's
even insane. Know if I'm with you here. But if you show that, you know, that the lack of support, then that kid will use that against you both. So
see, now when it comes to saying yes or no, Valerie's hit and miss. And so sometimes I'll tell them no because I'm pretty sure she's going to say no. But then she comes back and says, oh, I don't care.
Well, or,
and I I'll say yes because I'm like, okay, she'll say yes. And she'll come back and say no.
I'm like,
it's a lose-lose.
I know. And then I got to hear about it later because I'll just say yes to stuff because it doesn't seem like that big a deal to me.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. Mm-hmm. And then she'd be like, but did she tell you, like Alex would be like, did she tell you that I already talked to her?
Yeah, exactly.
No, mm-hmm. because of this, this, and this. I'm like, no. Oh, so she omitted that part. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I get on her like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm getting a lot better about it. Did you ask your mom? What'd she say?
Yeah.
Because I know she is. Mm-hmm. She tries to play us. But
yeah,
going into kind of how you're very similar to your grandpa, mm-hmm. I think that's pretty cool too. You know, it's almost like having, like I see my grandpa too, my mom's dad, and great mm-hmm. example of... both ways. You know, there's some things that I know he did them growing up, and I'm like, I'm not, you know, I don't know if I agree with that. But there's some other stuff that I can take from that. You know, mm-hmm. like I can take some things, some tools to use. Like he was really good at hard worker, really good with his money, and mm-hmm. and taking care to make sure that they had a nest egg their whole life, not just now, but forever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to do that too, you mm-hmm. know, so I get some of that from him. So it's really good to have those positive male role models in your life, you know, that you can evolve from, you know,
yeah.
like your grandpa or your dad, you know, if there's uncles in there, whoever.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it. We know people that don't have, like, much of a dad relationship, mm-hmm. much of a relationship with anybody, that they're just kind of out there on their own.
Yeah.
And some of them doing a great job. And some you almost wonder, like, how?
Exactly. How are you doing this? And we will tell that person.
Yeah.
How do you turn out the way you did? We will never know.
It's crazy.
You know? Because we know some people that, you know, they had their parents there and they were around and everything and they didn't turn out so great.
No. it is so hit or miss. There's no exact science to it. It's just there really is a lot to be gained from having, you know, two parents around, a positive male role model in your life. Hopefully that's your dad, if not somebody else, but that doesn't always prove to be
a
winning point, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really necessarily need to be, and like even a relative. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories that, you know, the old guy next door, you know,
yeah.
took the kid in under his wing and didn't raise him, but was that role model for him.
Just having somebody there, I think yeah. that's the biggest thing. Somebody that you can learn from, look up to. It's kind of like the role model thing that we talked about a couple episodes back.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody to look up to. You hope that it could be the dad, if not somebody else. And if there's nobody at all, that's where I think there's a lot of problems.
Yeah.
That occur.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes it really tough.
I mean, that's why, you know, a lot of the kids that are in foster homes and stuff like that, they really don't have anyone to look up to.
No.
And so
you hope that maybe they're adopted by somebody that is a
that cares about them. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or at least they have a foster parent that's there, that's caring about them, that's not just there to, you know, have them in their house just for the money. Because there are a lot of those people.
It is sad, yeah. And it's just, I feel like, the key ingredient to all of it is love, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't necessarily matter if they're saying all the time, but the actions. Are mm-hmm. they showing that they love you?
Yeah.
You know, you and I can both sit here and say, yeah, our dads loved us. No mm-hmm. doubt about it, you know.
Yeah.
Having somebody that does that is important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my wife's family, you know, like their dad wasn't in the picture, hasn't been in the picture for a very long time. And so she's got two brothers that are both doing a bang up job parenting,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't really have much of a dad.
Mm-hmm.
No example, especially her youngest brother. He's been gone forever
mm-hmm.
since he was a baby. So who are his examples? Well, you know, he had uncles mm-hmm. and he had, you know, other people in his life that were there, and he's got just even like his wife's dad's involved, so I think he kind of looks up to him a little bit. Mm-hmm. He has, I guess he does. He has like me, and then my brother-in-law, Brandon, who's Alex's sister's husband.
Mm-hmm.
Just examples. People are a little bit older. They see either, okay, cool, you know, they do all right.
Yeah.
Maybe I can do this too.
Yeah.
Just having that,
yeah,
you know, is important.
It's true. I mean, you know, especially in my situation, you know, if I didn't have my dad, I would have probably had an older sibling. Because, like I said, you know, by the time I was old enough to really know what was going on around. You know, my oldest brother was out of the house and
right.
was having a kid and everything too. So
yeah, you would have had him to look up.
Yeah, I would have had him to look up to, and
hopefully,
yeah. yeah. No, he's one of those that he would have.
Yeah,
I think. But you know, I was lucky enough to have my dad around. You know, even though he didn't show the infection or anything, but I knew he was there and that he loved me. But you know, just some things, like you said, that you take from. There's some things you take from your parents, some that you don't, you know? Yeah. And then, and that, now that you bring that up, it's just kind of funny how you said how just from what I've heard, I'm like my grandpa that I've never met before. You know, it's just kind of funny, you know, like I skipped a generation mm-hmm. or something yeah. like that. So,
yeah, there's a lot in the genetics there too. Yeah. I think there's some things that get passed down, whether you know, and I think people that have a big enough influence on others, whether they be their spouse or their kids or other relatives, I think if they have a big enough impression on them, they will take those traits and carry them on for them even after they pass. So if your grandpa was this, you know, dynamic character, loving, outgoing, passionate person, people will take that and then they pass it down mm-hmm. through him, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do, baby.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be that guy.
So
I'm like a flamethrower of love. Just burn everybody.
I love it. Anyone that gets into the 15-foot radius.
You just try to have an
impact. He'll just love you to death.
Just try to have an impact on people.
You know? Oh, yeah. You got to, like you said, you got to be that role model. You know, because you never know. It's like a lot of the time, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors.
Right.
And so, you know, you could, I'm just saying figuratively, you know, you could have a nephew. And that behind closed doors, your brother-in-law or whatever is not being good to him. And so you got to, you know, maybe you don't know it, but maybe right. you are that person that he's looking up to.
Sure.
You know, or even your neighbor kid. Maybe, you know, the dad's not around too much or the dad ignores him or
right.
drinks too much or something like that. And yeah. maybe your neighbor kid comes over and wants to hang out and while you're, you know, fiddling around in the garage or something like that. Well, you never know.
Yeah.
You might be, he might look up to you. You might be his role model because, you know, the dad's passed out on the couch or something. So
I mean,
you just
true.
Never know who's watching and you never know who's paying attention to your actions that you're, you know, that you're doing. So,
yeah, I think at this stage in life, especially in this time, we all need to be better examples and we all need to act as if, you know, everybody's watching. You know, and, mm-hmm. and try to do the right thing and be uplifting and positive, not all negative, not always, you know, coming down on people, you know, like, yeah, I mean, I'm very involved with, you know, my nieces and nephews and my sister's been ready to pop her kid out any minute now. I mean, it's going to happen. No, any she's minute. Not. She's ready.
I saw those pictures the other day.
Oh, man, she's ready.
I was like, woo!
You better believe. Like, this is the first one on my side of the family, so I'm going to be super involved with this kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's going to have a great role model in her dad. You know, it's old Shelby Padgett,
who was on
a few weeks back.
Old
you know,
Shelby.
You know, but they're both excited to have, you know, mm-hmm. have us around the family. We're all real close. Mm-hmm. It's going to have a positive impact on him, I hope, you know, growing up, having his family around. And,
oh, yeah. I think it does. Like I mean, still to this day, I still have pretty good relationship with a couple of my uncle. Well, I have a good relationship with all of my uncles on my mom's side.
Uh-huh.
But there's, you know, one of them that I have a really good relationship with because I worked with him
right.
when I was doing garage doors. And I got really close to him.
Yeah.
I mean, still to this day, we have our inside jokes and everything. And I'll call him up every once in a while just to chit-chat with him. And, you know, a couple weekends ago, we had his son came into town. And so we had him all out here for Easter egg hunt and everything. And you know, just fun to have him around because it's just, you know, that type of relationship that we have together.
Yeah.
Where he's not just my uncle, you know, I think of him as, you know, a really good friend too, so.
And that's where we're at now. Like, I think our, I don't know if I want to say our generation, but I think you and I's like age group and things that we've learned from, we're trying to make those changes. So, and what I mean by that is like my dad's side of the family, like I said, they didn't really talk. There was a lot of disconnect over the years. They're all kind of coming back together now. A few of the siblings have died. Like a couple mm-hmm. of his brothers have passed away from cancer years back. But, mm-hmm. You know, they're talking a lot more. I'm talking to my cousins a little bit more. They're all older than we are because, you know, my dad was the youngest. Mm-hmm. But like my mom's side of the family, you know, we're pretty close with her brother, my uncle. We see him at least once a year for Christmas. You know, he lives in California, but he comes out. My brother talks to him quite a bit. And then her uncle, my grandma's youngest brother, Uncle Marty, super close with this guy. Like, yeah. He comes out a couple times a year. We party, have a great time. He's just a basser, like 65 years old, rolling. He's at my sister's wedding, just partying up with us, you know, mm-hmm. year and a half back. But, and I see all that, you know, in my life now, and I realize how important it is. And that's why I want to continue that as we grow older with my nieces and nephews on my wife's side of the family. And then mm-hmm. with my nephew from my sister's coming, and any future kids that come from them, or if my brother ever decides to retire the jersey and get out of the game and settle down, mm-hmm. you know, maybe pop one out. Then I can.
That's gonna be there take for a bit, though.
I know he's.
It's gonna take a bit.
it's tough to take the shoes off or the cleats,
man,
and retire the jersey.
Yeah,
but he's having a good time.
Go away.
He's having a great time.
Does he still have a stash?
Yeah. No, I got rid of it.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, you got it.
The stash was epic.
But you know. Family, I feel like it's always been important. It's not like that's nothing new, the importance of family. Mm-hmm. But I think some cultures is more important than others. But I think now more than ever, doesn't matter what culture, what race, what ethnicity, whatever mm-hmm. you are, family, we got to be strong right now, because mm-hmm. the world's so divisive.
Yeah. And well, not necessarily family, but you got to have the friends too.
Well, I include them in the family. Well, yeah, exactly. What I mean. It's like your circle.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just make this tiny little circle of like 8 people and that's all you care about, and because that's how it has always been, right?
Now you're getting into to a cult.
No. But I mean, I think it's like try to include as many people as you can. People that are, you know, obviously if somebody's toxic, you get those toxic people out of there. Mm-hmm. They're no good. You know, with them, but if they don't work, you got to get rid of them. Yeah. But keep expanding that circle, friends and family, and which I think is something you and I do a good job of. Maybe a little different than, you know, our
parents,
examples, yeah. our mm-hmm. parents. Our, well, no. Yeah, I would say. Yeah, mm-hmm. probably.
Yeah.
So, because it's so important, mm-hmm. the next generation, our kids, will have all this family, all these friends. Yeah, they consider maybe family mm-hmm. Because of us and our influence. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, just like with what I told you guys, you know, our group of friends that we have, you know, you, Alex, Steve, or you are Steve.
Yeah, me.
Colt, Tyler, and all them. You know, if any of you guys fall on hard times or anything, you know, get your butts out here and, you know, we'll take care of you. And I've said the same thing to my family members, too. You know, if anyone falls on hard times or anything, my nieces and nephews, get your butt out here and we'll take care of you. You know, get you back up on your feet.
And that's what it needs to be, because I think, and I know it's happening with my parents and their side of family, like there would be falling outs because people weren't there for each other. Or they just didn't communicate. So many of the problems I've heard about on both sides, my mom and dad's side of the family, mm-hmm. people still are, there's unresolved issues. They have no idea what it's even from.
Yeah.
Still. Mm-hmm. Why? People have died. I mean, people are dying in our family. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and people are still not talking. We can't have it. I won't have it. Like, you know, we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, Alex and I are very adamant on staying close with our family, talking things out. Not that we've had big issues come up, but if mm-hmm. it did, we're going to talk it out.
Yeah.
We're going to figure this thing out, because it's so important to learn from the mistakes of the past to move forward going into the future.
Yeah. Yeah. So going back to, you know, like you said, how you're talking about, you know, family members, you know, talk all the time and some don't. So right now I'm kind of having a hard time with my family, like my brothers and sisters, because like there is that big age gap. Mm-hmm. So growing up, I always felt like an outsider because I'm the only one between my parents. And so I felt like that the other ones always held a grudge, you know, like, you know, how come he gets to have his mom and dad around his birth mom and dad around all the time. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until I got married to Valerie that I felt like I was kind of on the same playing level as mm-hmm. my older siblings. And then they, you know, had kids and everything. And now we're right back to, there's me and my two older brothers that are right above us. We all have kids that are the same age. So nice. We're close.
Yeah.
But then the other five that are above me, all their kids are, you know, their oldest are either graduating or just about to graduate, and some of them,
yeah,
some of them they're married and have multiple kids and much right. older.
Not as much in common.
Yeah, and so now it's like we're on different playing fields again. Mm-hmm. But it drives me nuts because this is the exact same thing that happened with the Stoke side. Like my kids are not knowing the Stoke side. Mm-hmm. Like they're not going to know their older cousins. They're going to be like me. They're going to be walking down the street talking randomly to a stranger, and it could be their cousin, and they wouldn't know it.
Right.
And it bothers me. And so I've been. That's the question. What do I do?
Yeah.
Because you know I can reach out to them all I want,
yeah.
but I got one in Florida.
Right.
He can't just I can't just fly my family out there. And he can't
phone call every once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, I got one in Idaho Falls.
Yeah.
You know. I mean. But, and they have said, we're just at different times in our lives. And I'm just like, it doesn't have to be like that,
Yeah.
It's got to be, I want my kids to know their aunts and uncles.
Sure.
Now, on my wife's side, they know all of them.
Right.
Even though it doesn't matter.
Do they all live a lot closer, though?
One's in Pocatello and one's in the Tri-Cities in Washington.
That's not too far.
But we get together once a month. They're like my mom's family. They get together once a month. Just about. And so they know, you could show them a picture of an aunt and uncle or a cousin and be like, okay, that's so-and-so.
Yeah.
On my side, I can show them a picture and they'd be like, I don't know who that is.
I think that's just real.
And it drives me nuts because it could be the same thing. You could show me a picture.
My
aunts and uncles, I would know.
Right.
I could tell you who they were. But my cousins, I have no clue.
I think that's just what's really hard about when you have a big family that's really spread out in age like mm-hmm. yours.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to grow up, you're going to go do your thing, and nobody blames you. Mm-hmm. You move to the other side of the country for whatever, mm-hmm. your job, and that's just what happens. And then you have your own family, and that's your life now, mm-hmm. It doesn't stop you from picking up the phone just every once in a while. Just to
My brother in Florida. We send each other memes all the time, funny memes, and we talk about. We have golf in common since I started playing, so we talk about golf a lot and stuff. And then we'll talk about his kids and everything. And then my sister in Idaho Falls, which we all have the same taste in movies and like Nacho Libre and all those. Types of stupid, kind of slapstick comedy movies and stuff. And so we'll send each other stuff we don't talk on the phone, but that's how we communicate.
Yeah.
No, we'll just text each other funny stuff. And that's
just keeping that though is really important because unfortunately that might be you'll probably see each other, at some point, but that's probably going to be normal for you mm-hmm. going forward, just because it's really hard to keep like a really big family all together. Like it's just not realistic, mm-hmm. Alex has like a ton of aunts and uncles and they live all over the place. They're all pretty close and they talk for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually will see some of them here and there, but she's got one lives in like Virginia, another one's in California, they're all over the place. One's in Arizona. People move, they go and do it, and they start their own families. And I think it's just really important, at least for us, mm-hmm. is to, with our kids, is just try to just continue to instill that importance of family and that need to want us to be around each other and to see each other. Even if you move away across the country, whatever,
mm-hmm.
let's always try to find the time to
get together. There was...
You come to me, I come to you, whatever.
Well, we were every other year, like every 2 years, we were trying to have a family reunion.
See, family reunions are good if you've got big families, too.
We were good about it until like 4 years ago. It was my... Because it was actually on the perfect rotation, because 1 year we would have Valerie and her family, then the next year it would be my family.
Right.
And it came to the year that my family, and I sent out a text because I hadn't heard anything, didn't get one response for it.
Yeah.
And so, that was 4 years ago, and I'm just like, this sucks, but...
It happens.
Last time that... I don't know when the last time all eight of us were together.
Yeah.
And, but...
That's thing, eight kids though. That's hard. It's really hard.
It is. Out of the eight, seven of us live here around the valley.
Okay.
And then I got the one in Pocatello, Florida, and then Utah. And so, but the one in Utah has kids that are my kids' age.
Yeah.
So we make it a point to drive down there, or he comes up here, a few times a year.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, it's just, I think I need to try a little bit harder to reach out to those older siblings. That, I mean, well, it's pathetic because, like I said, there's seven of us that are still around here, but we never get together.
It's just really hard,
you know.
And that's it's just so hard when you have that many kids. Those eight of you. I mean, that's so hard.
Oh no, sorry. There's not seven. Wow, I was thinking of I was including my parents in it. Because my parents still live here.
Yeah.
But out of the siblings, sorry, I apologize. There are, five of us that still live here. Five. And then two more, kind of my parents.
That's still tough, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is, especially with the age
got
gap.
I got one in CUNA, one in Middleton, one in Nampa, one in CUNA, and
just
me.
Continue having those conversations. Talk on the phone. Mm-hmm. Shoot the text. Just stay in contact, you know? And then every once in a while, maybe you plan something, you know, just as long as there's no, falling outs or anything. Cause I feel like that's like, gosh, that was like the story of like, you know, my dad's family, my mom's family. It's just like, there'd be a falling out, nobody talks, and it used to be close and now nobody talks anymore. And you're like, you don't even know why.
Like, it's just there's ridiculous. I mean, there has been some falling outs. Like I said, they come and go with the falling outs, but, I mean, shoot, I even had a falling out with one of my brothers, but we're good now.
I think what's really important there and what helps keep the families together and what's good for us as dads and husbands is having a wife, a partner, who really embraces your family too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because we've seen it time and time again.
Where the wife or the husband
does not get along with the other family, and they're just waiting for something to happen so they'd be like, see, I told you, ha, we're out. Thank God. Woo!
Yeah.
That's so damaging to the family, you know. Oh. And sometimes you don't even know that until you're already married and you're into it. And then you're like, what? You don't like my family?
It's just not damaging to the family. But, I mean, it's your kids. Your kids are watching you. Yeah. And they're watching you just, you know, blow up at, you know, your aunts and uncles.
Yeah.
For some minor reason. And you're just using it as an excuse to, you know, to be a victim just to get away from the family.
And I refuse to do it. And that's why I'm very close with Alex's family. She's very close with my family. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, I had that, like my dad, great example, because he was basically lived with my mom and her family since he was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's known nobody, like that's who he was with. Mm-hmm. You know, you could argue that my grandparents were more parents to him than his dad.
Yeah.
Because his mom died when he was 10, so he had his dad who he wasn't even with after he was 16 years old. So yeah, my grandparents were more parents to him than anybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I had a great example of somebody embracing his spouse's family. So I knew the importance of, you got to love the other family too.
Exactly.
And it's easy when you have, I lucked out, you know, all my brothers and sister-in-laws, awesome. They're all, and their husbands and wives and their kids. I mean, they're all great. So it makes it easy. And I get that sometimes, but they have their issues just like I have mine, you know. Mm-hmm. But you just got to look past it and just remember it's family, you know, because it's so easy anymore in this cancel culture that we live in to just find one reason with somebody that I don't want to be around them anymore.
Exactly.
They said something on Facebook, it offended me, or they just said something at the last barbecue, I can't get over it, I'm done.
Well, that was the falling out that I had with my brother. It was because of a post on Facebook.
Oh, my goodness.
That he didn't agree with, and
for what, though, you know? I mean, and we don't even need to get to that. Yeah. But it's just like, for what?
But we're good now.
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, and that's the way it should be. I mean, we can disagree. That's the thing. We need to be able to do that.
You should be able to disagree, but not cancel each other out.
I think going forward, too, if there's anything that we can try to get our kids to, I guess, get from us as they evolve into adults and then parents down the road, probably, is that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Don't be so quick to get rid of people, to cancel them out.
They're family.
Especially your family.
I don't care. Blood is blood, man. I mean, you could try and disown them all you want, but when it comes down to your blood and your DNA,
there's very few things that I put on. There's a short list of things that I think it's like, you're out.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. But most of the time, like, people are having falling outs aren't for those things.
Oh, no.
It's something petty. Somebody said this, or they looked at me weird, or I came over for the barbecue and they didn't say hi to me, type of thing. Like, what? Like, who are you? Queen Elizabeth? You're not important. They'll get to you.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't see you, maybe.
I was over at your house for 5 hours and you never said a word to me.
Maybe I didn't say
anything. There were 50 people there.
Well, yeah, and maybe I didn't say anything to you because I have irritable bowel syndrome. I've been running the toilet all night. What do you want? Oh, and what's worse about that is, like, I'm supposed to walk over to somebody I hadn't seen in 10 years or whatever. Yeah. Or wait, it could be weeks, months, whatever. And I'm getting ready to blow up my pants here, okay? Now's not the time to have a conversation, Bob.
Why, Steve, why does everything always go back to poop with you?
Because it could be. You don't know. Or maybe you're just having a rough day. Yeah. You're really keeping it together, mm-hmm. and you just had, but you already scheduled this thing, so you're there. I mean,
there's times when I'll go to family functions, and I had a crappy day at work, and I just don't feel like talking to anyone.
It's nothing personal.
Yeah.
But people take things so personal mm-hmm. now. Maybe that is a good thing from the last generation was maybe they didn't take it as much, maybe personal, mm-hmm. a little bit more thicker skin, obviously, which is contradictory to what I've been saying because it seems like there's falling outs over petty things.
Yeah.
Because not everybody's got thick skin, but my dad's got thick skin, okay? Mm-hmm. So I got the good example there, you know. I feel like, some of the older generations a little bit more about, like, just get through it, it's fine.
I'm the youngest of eight. I got picked on.
I got
that thick skin, except, and I was bullied, like we talked about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, the older I get, the thicker the skin gets.
Got to have that thick skin, baby. Woo! Thick skin like an armadillo.
Yeah.
But just, you know, I think what the takeaway here is, you know, we're constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to do it in a positive way.
We really do.
Really, like, try to just trash the bad, get rid of the bad if you can. And help your kids to take some of the good things about you.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they see some maybe of the not so great things and they don't do the same.
Yeah.
You know, I think we constantly are trying to outdo your predecessor, right? Mm-hmm. Your dad or whatever. Yeah. I'm trying to outdo him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to outdo him. So hopefully my daughter will outdo me mm-hmm. and her mom and so on and so forth. I think we should constantly be trying to raise our kids to do better than us.
Exactly. Or at least try and raise our kids better than... I mean, not saying that we weren't raised right, but we try and raise them a little better than we were raised, you know? And the one thing that really drives me nuts is when I hear people say, well, I am the way I am because my parents raised me this way. It's like, then make changes.
You can make changes, though. You don't have to be that way. Yeah.
You know,
and maybe it's easier said than done, but you know, I think just acknowledging that you can be better is mm-hmm. enough to start working towards that.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a scapegoat for people, and it's a thing to fall back on when the deck is stacked against you and life's mm-hmm. not going your way. It's really easy to be like, well, it's my parents' fault.
Well, there was so, for instance, here's a little example, okay? So back in high school, I was friends with a kid, and I don't know how we got on the topic or whatever. Essentially, he got into looking at pornographic stuff. And he blamed it on his dad. Well, my dad watches it, so he's the one that, you know. It was because of my dad. And I'm just like, it doesn't have to be.
Right. Like, no, I mean, if you just admit it. You wanted to look at it.
Exactly.
Like, I'd rather have you just be honest. Yeah. Don't be like, right, my dad's fault. I wouldn't look at it. Well, come on.
Yeah.
Let's just cut the malarkey.
Exactly. And, right. I mean, like I said, that was in high school. Years have gone past. I mean, we don't talk or anything. I don't think we're really friends anymore, but... We're just acquaintances now, which I haven't seen him for years. But I just, like that, that's just kind of stuck with me.
Yeah,
because
it's making
I'm just
excuses.
Like, and it just drives me nuts when I just see people, well, one, not taking responsibility for their choices.
Yeah.
And they blame other people. I'm like this because of so-and-so. You know, I'm like this because of so-and-so. You know, I'm like this because my dad used to beat me when I was younger. It's like. You don't have to beat your child just because your dad beat you, you know? Make a difference. Step up. You don't have to do that, you know? Yeah. Oh, I hit my wife
but
because...
But it's the knowing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's...
You know, I hit my wife because my dad used to hit my mom. Well, you don't have to.
So he didn't evolve.
You didn't evolve.
You became
a
carbon copy of your old man.
Exactly.
Are you happy?
And did you like watching your dad hit your mom? Probably not. Did you like it when your dad hit you? Probably not. Then why are you doing it? Well, no, it's my dad, I did it. No.
And see, and other than saying it that way, maybe just be like, yeah, it's something I should try to work on. Whatever,
exactly.
You know, but other than, but just excusing it, like, that's mm-hmm. the problem, is like, and it's easier said than done, like we've said, I mean.
Yeah, it is.
We weren't getting beat up growing up, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely not something we could probably talk too much on, but
mm-hmm.
I think if you can at least acknowledge that there's an issue and then try to work on it, other than just saying, well, he was like this.
It's just like alcoholism, you know.
Alcoholism, whatever.
The first step is admitting that you got a problem.
That's how it is with a lot of things.
That's what it is.
Yeah, if you can step up, you know.
Like, hey, I got a problem.
Be an adult, admit you got a problem.
Yeah, and take responsibility for that problem
mm-hmm.
instead of, I got a problem, but it's It's because you, Steve, you picked on me and bullied me all our lives. Boo, so buddy. I
pick on you right now.
Because I'm an angry leprechaun now because of you.
I'll say this,
man. South Pole elf.
I'll say this about my dad is I never heard him make an excuse about really anything. And I remember him telling me, like, I work hard so that hopefully someday you don't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, I work hard, but I definitely made some different choices, though, than he did. Because he was an example of, like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, that dude's been doing, you know, like, manual labor his whole life, and you know what I'm saying?
Well, like, I'm not the same way. Like, I hope my kids take stuff from me. They're like, okay, I liked what he did here. I don't like what he did here. I'm going to flush that down the toilet.
Exactly.
I hope they do that. Yeah. I hope they look at me and be like, okay, he never went to college. He never got an education. Maybe I should get one.
Could help. Maybe exactly. Not. Or, you know,
whatever.
But you'll be able to be there to help him make those decisions.
Exactly. I'd be like, look, I made some mistakes. Don't make the same mistakes that I did. Here I am, 65, and I can't retire because I didn't do this.
Right.
You know, do this. Trust me on this one. Listen to your old man for once, all right?
No, I mean, that's funny because my dad, he told me, he's like, he was real big on me getting in the military. He's like, retirement. You'll have retirement.
That's crazy.
He's just like, you'll have retirement. I wish I would
have.
Because his brother, my Uncle Larry, who had passed away, and my Uncle Richard, both had passed away, actually. But they were both in the military. And he wished even my Uncle Jerry, his other brother, he's alive. He was in the military. He was the only one that actually
Okay, because I was going to say, so far, everyone that you mentioned has passed away. Does that mean that?
No, they both they both got cancer, but it's nothing genetic. It was actually from different things. Like one was like melanoma, so skin cancer. You know, the other one was prostate cancer from exposure in Vietnam. So they definitely got it from something.
From something.
But yeah, I know. It was kind of like I had to think about it. I was like, two out of four.
Wait a minute, that
can't be good.
Huh, what am I at?
Yeah, well,
50-50.
Take care of your skin.
Yep.
You know, and try not to get exposed to Agent Orange in Vietnam, which I can check that off.
That's why I don't like swimming. And when I do swim, I swim with a shirt on. Because I'm a ginger.
You're a super cool guy.
I am pasty white.
You can get sun burn on your head, though.
That's why I wear a swim hat.
You wear a hat when you're swimming, too?
No, I just shellac my head.
You just stay out of the sun all the time.
I walk around with an umbrella all the time.
Yep. Smart.
I'm like Michael Jackson when he used to have to do that.
Yeah, you're a smart guy.
Yeah. No, when I was growing up, I go swimming, no shirt, no sunscreen.
Woo! Yeah, I don't care when you're younger.
I'll tell you what, man. I got my kids. They wear shirts, too.
No, it's...
Because I got some ginger kids,
too. Skin cancer, that's the real deal. You don't want me dealing with that.
Nope. So. See, and I'm not like you. I don't have kind of olive-colored skin. I can't tan.
I know.
I just burn and peel.
That's the problem. Alex is, she's always harping on me. You put sunscreen, I'm like, not worried about it. Ain't that bad. And then she'll look at my back like, you got pretty red. You need to be better. And she'll bring up like, your uncle. I'm like,
I know. Dang it.
I know. I know. I try to use my complexion. I'm darker. Mm-hmm. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
No.
Listen here. Take it from the milky pasty white kid over here.
Take it from the milk jug.
Wear a shirt. You know what? I'm tired of seeing your ripped muscles. I'm just jealous of them. All right.
Stop this.
I'm tired. If I take this off, it's just a milk jug. That's all it is.
I'm drinking.
Get out of here. All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. But, shout out to everyone that listens.
Yeah, appreciate everybody. Hopefully we got some.
Appreciate everyone, man.
You know, a lot of this was mostly just off our experience. You know, it's hard to talk or speak about something that doesn't really directly affect us, especially with examples of dads, whatever like that. Yep. But hopefully this hit home with some people. I know it does with us.
Oh yeah, so, definitely.
Appreciate everybody listening all around the world. Keep it up. Let's get this thing rolling.
Let's keep it going. Keep this train going.
Yeah.
Choo-choo. The daggum dad train. Oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make one. Anybody can whittle us a train?
Yeah. Huh? We got a bat.
Can I'm only kidding.
Train that goes around.
I'm only kidding, guy. All right. Well, hey, remember our children are blessings and don't take for granted. So, but we will catch you guys next week.
Yep. Thank you.